already. Yes. This is the April meeting of the New York State Racing and Wagering Board, Schenectady, New York. Joined as usual by my colleagues Daniel Hogan and Charles Diamond. We will open the meeting, as is our custom, with public comment, if there is any. Hearing none, I believe we have email commentary that we will enter into the record.
We received emails from Mr. Jackson Leeds regarding New York State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli's review of the five regional OTBs, and also a comment regarding the draft report on the State Comptroller's audit of NASA OTB.
Okay, that will be available for members to review as part of the record of this meeting. I will ask Secretary Gail Ponte to now
call the meeting to order. 11:04. Approve the minutes of the board meeting held on March 25th, 2010.
Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Items
approved.
Previously approved or deferred by the chair since the last meeting, there's 202 items. Items previously approved or denied by the full board were 5 since the last meeting. And we have 11 items for today's meeting.
Okay.
First item would be Yonkers Raceway 2010 track and simulcast license application.
Mr. Lynch.
The racing dates for Yonkers Raceway for the current year are January 8th till December 21st. That's 245 programs, one more than the previous year, 2009. From January through April, they're racing 5 programs a week on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays, with Wednesdays and Sundays dark through April 13th. Then from April 13th through the end of the year, the racing 5 programs a week again, with racing on Wednesdays and Thursdays dark. An application for a year 2010 racing license from Yonkers Raceway has been received and reviewed. An extension of the multi-year agreement with the Standard Bred Owners Association is in place through December 31st of 2011. The stall application was included in this application and has no appreciable changes from that of 2009. Yonkers Raceway is applying at this time for a waiver from the rule requirement that purses be distributed within 72 hours, opting instead for a weekly distribution of winning purse checks. Permission letter dated September 28, 2009 from the Standard Bred Owners Association agrees to this procedure. Staff has found the track and simulcast applications for 2010 to be substantially complete. The 245 live racing programs applied for is less than the parimutuel racing and wagering and breeding law section 307.5A. A requirement that Yonkers Raceway conduct a minimum of 256 programs. Yonkers Raceway and the SOA has agreed on no fewer than 245 race dates for the 2010 season, as evidenced by their contract. Staff requested Yonkers Raceway for an explanation of the fewer racing dates in relation to the 307.5A statutory minimum. The response justifying the departure is attached. Racing 307.5A grants the track license to conduct fewer programs and races for good cause shown due to factors beyond the control of the Racing Corporation and upon consent of the Racing of the Representative Horsemen's Association. Staff recommends that the board make such a finding for the purposes of Section 307.5A. Section 318 of the Racing Law requires Yonkers Raceway to conduct 147 days in lieu of higher parimutuel tax rates. This requirement is satisfied. Board's counsel office reviewed the CAFO documentation submitted with this application. No material issues were noted. The required SAS 70 Type 2 auto report for Yonkers Raceway totalizator vendor has been filed with the board, and staff has issued a separate memo for board information. Pursuant to Section 5100.23D, the board must annually approve Yonkers Raceway's totalizator security plan. Staff has reviewed the plan and found it to be substantially in compliance with the rule. Staff has filed the track application for 2010 to be substantially complete and recommends issuance of the track racing license. Staff reviewed the 2010 simulcast license application and no substantial changes in the simulcast plan of operation presented as compared with the 2009 application and plan. The application is sufficient for purposes of issuing the 2010 simulcast license. It's recommended that the board grant the 2010 track and simulcast licenses subject to standard conditions, grant the requested waiver from the purse distribution requirements, approve the totalizator security plan, and authorize certification to the Commissioner of Taxation and Finance pursuant to Section 318. The Yonkers Racing Corporation has been assigned the required number of racing programs to qualify for the lower pyramidal tax rate.
So everything in the application is now complete. We're satisfied?
Yes.
Okay. Discussion by members of the board? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is passed. Next item.
Nassau Regional OTB, new members of the Board of Directors, Joseph Benjavenegna, Frank DiStefano, and Eric Harford.
By letter dated February 25th of the current year, Diane Malone, attorney at the Nassau Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation, requests permission to amend the Nassau Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation plan of operation to reflect the appointment of three individuals to the board of directors of the Nassau Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation. Three new members are Joseph Benzavenga, Frank DiStefano, and Eric A. Harkin. They were all appointed to the Nassau Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation Board of Directors by the Nassau County Legislature on January 25th of the current year. Three new board members will replace Joanne Wasserman, Anthony Gallego, and fill the remaining vacancy on the Nassau OTB board. The suitability review was conducted based on public records, credit history report, personal history disclosure forms, and a check of the fingerprint records of each individual. Board Attorney Bill Sekelek interviewed Mr. Bezavega, Mr. DiStefano, and Mr. Harkin to review their duties and responsibilities as OTB directors. Approval is recommended.
Questions or comments on the Nassau OTB board members? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Item 3 is Suffolk Regional OTB, New Quick Bet, GVG Entertainment, doing business as Brookwoods in Islip Terrace, New York.
Mr. Lynch.
By letter dated February 18th of the current year, Suffolk Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation requests authorization to open a Quick Bet facility at the operating restaurant known as GVG Enterprises Incorporated, doing business as Brookwoods, which is located at 2765 Sunrise Highway in Islip Terrace, New York. The GVG Enterprises Incorporated, doing business as Brookwoods, was incorporated in 2008. There were 200 shares of no-cap par value stock owned by Marie Bello. Staff reviewed the personal history disclosure, tax returns, credit history, financial disclosure form, business records, fingerprint-based criminal history reports, and background checks. Staff also reviewed the financial disclosure form and credit history of the business. Staff reviewed the business tax returns of GVG Enterprises Incorporated for the year 2008 without adverse findings. Staff also reviewed the tax returns of Marie Bello for the years 2006, 2007, and 2008, and there were no significant findings. Staff reviewed the state liquor license, the division of lottery license, public records concerning GVG Enterprises Incorporated doing business as Brookwoods. None of these inquiries disclose any past or current violations. Staff also reviewed the names of employees on payroll records of GVG Enterprises Incorporated doing business as Brookwoods. Staff's review did not result in the detection of disqualifying information. Should be noted that the term of the agreement that Suffolk Regional OTB has with GVG Enterprises Incorporated doing business as Brookwoods is for 1 year from the date of the board approval. Should Suffolk Regional OTB wish to extend or modify this agreement, they should be reminded to obtain the required board approvals. Approval is recommended.
Questions or comments on a Quick Bet for Brookwoods?
Only that it's two standard conditions, I presume, will be added to the approval letter if it is approved.
Yes. Any other questions, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item's approved. Next item.
Item four is Western Regional OTB, new member to Board of Directors, Mr. James Foley.
Mr. Lynch.
On the March 24th of 2010, Martin C. Bassinet of the Western Off-Track Betting Corporation requested approval of a new director, James Foley. Mr. Foley will replace the former County of Wyoming director, Carol Butler. Staff is performing a limited suitability review of James Foley pursuant to his appointment by Western Regional OTB. The suitability review was based on public records, credit history report, license application, and a check of the fingerprint records. No potential disqualifying information was detected. Board Attorney Bill Sekelek interviewed Mr. Foley to review Mr. Foley's duties and responsibilities as an OTB director. Approval is recommended.
Questions or comments on the appointment of Mr. Foley from Wyoming County to the Western OTB Board? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next item.
Item five, proposed rulemaking. It's amendment to Games of Chance Rule 5603.11.
This is a staff recommendation that the board approve a proposal of an amendment to Board Rule 5603.11, which is a Games of Chance rule. What this proposed amendment would do is to provide a procedure similar to that already in place in the rules for bingo, where a municipality will follow certain procedures in order to permit an authorized organization, which is domiciled beyond its territorial limits, to conduct games of chance in that municipality. The requirements are set forth in the rule proposal, but basically this is to accommodate organizations which, for reasons of hardship or necessity, are not able to conduct games of chance in the municipality in which they're domiciled. I should note that this amendment was sent out for industry comment. That period ended. No comments were received.
Questions or comments on game of chance rulemaking? Hearing none, this will be submitted to GORE, correct?
Yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next item.
Item six is Finger Lakes Racetrack request to withdraw $85,211.52 from their capital improvement fund.
Mr. Casserjola.
Thank you, Chairman. By application dated March 19, 2010, Finger Lakes requested approval to withdraw said amount from the capital improvement fund. Reimbursement of the three items listed in the application before you. Staff had reviewed the vendor invoices and canceled checks and found that the documentation of items properly supports the request. The items have been inspected and photographed by staff and are in the file. Presiding judge was contacted, stating new physical problems for health or safety issues that would include reimbursement of the capital. We did reach out to him based on a previous request to ensure that the escalator was, in fact, working for the clubhouse. So that's been fixed.
And you do have pictures of the wall-mounted trash receptacle for public inspection if we wanted to see it.
Oddly enough, we do, yes.
No. Questions or comments on the Finger Lakes SIP withdrawal?
Do we know if the rewiring of the camera towers is high def, has a high def capability?
That I don't know. I didn't see that. The rewiring is for the closed circuit picture that's shown not only on track but what they do sell, as well as the camera angles available to the judges. I don't know if it's high def available or not. I'll find that out and provide the answer.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Item 7 is the St. Regis Mohawk Tribe request to amend Appendix A and B of Tribal State Compact.
Well, before we start, I'll just note that we're joined by Vaughn Aldridge, the chairman of the St. Regis Mohawk Tribal Gaming Commission. and also joined by Charles Otto and Jill Benedict. Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. By letter dated April 13th of this year, the St. Regis Mohawk Tribe, acting through authority delegated to the St. Regis Mohawk Tribal Gaming Commission, requests amendment of the relevant compact. The tribe is seeking to import language for Sic Bo from the Seneca Nation of Indians compact with appropriate confirmation of those terms and formatting to be consistent with the Mohawk compact. The amendment is seeking additions to Appendix A to provide for the game standards and conduct, and Appendix B for the reference standards of operation and management. The staff has reviewed this and recommends approval by the board.
Questions or comments from the board members? The St. Regis Mohawk Tribe compact amendment for Sic Bo. Anyone played it yet?
I don't think we're allowed.
Well, you can play it in other jurisdictions. They don't have it yet, so of course you're not allowed here.
Once approved, how long does it take to enact the game, to start the game up?
I'm looking at about a month.
So there you go.
Apparently there's a big Sic Bo contingent in Vermont just waiting at the ferry to start this. Canada.
There you go.
Congratulations.
Good to know. All those in favor?
Aye.
Next item.
Item H, Seneca Nation of Indians, request to amend Appendix A and B of the Nation State Gaming Compact.
Before we start, we are joined by Lou Anderson, Director of Compliance, and Chuck Kilroy, Vice President of Casino Operations. Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. By letter dated March 19th of this year, the Seneca Nation of Indians has proposed various amendments to the Nation State Gaming Compact between the Seneca Nation of Indians and the state of New York. There are three parts here. The first relates to craps. The Seneca Nation is proposing an amendment to Appendix A, Section 8, to add a supplemental wager for hop bets, which are one-roll wagers on specific dice combinations rolled immediately following the placement of wagers. The second relates to Let It Ride Poker. The Nation is proposing an amendment to Appendix A, Section 13, to add a supplemental three-card bonus wager, which will permit the player to make a wager on the three cards initially dealt to them. The third relates to key control. The Nation is proposing an amendment to Appendix B, Section 70, involving playing cards, receipt storage, inspections, and removal from use. The amendment would remove responsibility for the control of one key from one entity to another. The staff has reviewed these and recommends approval of all three of these items.
So we have a full menu of items here, ranging from craps to Let It Ride to gaming security. Questions from the board? Hearing none. All those in favor of the Seneca Nation compact amendments?
Aye.
Item is approved. Now we go to the adjudicatory section of our meeting, the People's Court.
Item nine, in the matter of Paul P. Moore.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. This is the first of the three adjudicatory matters before the board this morning. This matter results from an appeal by Harness Racing Trainer Paul Moore from the imposition of a 60-day license suspension and $1,000 fine in relation to what was reported as an excessive pre-race total carbon dioxide level finding for the horse Weston Samantha. That horse, trained by Mr. Moore, had competed at Monticello Raceway on April 6th of 2009, and the finding of the excessive level was alleged to be in violation of Board Rules 4120.13 and 4120.4. There was a hearing scheduled and held before Mr. Parente as the designated hearing officer. The hearing officer submitted the report, which the board has before it, along with the record. The hearing officer recommends that the board sustain the violations, the license suspension, and the fine.
Questions or comments on the Moore case? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Next item.
In the matter of Tabco Incorporated.
This matter involves an appeal by Tabco Incorporated from the December 17, 2009 denial of the corporation's application for a license as a manufacturer of bell jar tickets. The denial was based on the finding that Tabco Inc. did not perform the actual functions of the manufacturer as required by General Municipal Law Section 195-N and Part 5608 of the Board's rules. There was a hearing held before Mr. Parenti as the designated hearing officer. The Board has before it Mr. Parenti's report in which he recommends that the license denial be upheld.
I had a question on this. Having looked at it, Tabco is a pretty large maker of gaming supplies, are they not?
I don't know their relative standing in the industry, but I know that they manufacture in Canada and for other places in the United States, yes.
Right. Is it that our standard is tougher in New York, or that they didn't give us the proper information? That's what I'm kind of lost on.
I'm not sure that the New York standards are more difficult. Tabco was licensed for many years, but as a result of information that came to light only within the past year or so, was there an awareness that the actual manufacture of the tickets was being done by another company, which is not a related corporate entity, although there is a common ownership within the structure of Tabco as opposed to Specialty Print, which I believe is the actual manufacturer of the tickets. This is more a technicality.
I understood that, but what I'm saying is that wouldn't other states be wary of the same problem?
I believe that there is at least one other state that has taken notice of this, and I believe that that Tabco had either not renewed or surrendered its license in that state. But I'm not sure of the standards.
Questions or comments on the matter of Tabco?
Let me ask it the other way, then. If they'd have come in and you know, said we're co-ownership and asked for a license for the other one, it would probably most likely would have been granted. That's the way I kind of saw it, wouldn't it?
Well, I think there are two things here to note. One is that I think it was possible to restructure the corporate relationship between the two entities so that this would have worked for reasons that that I'm not privy to. That was not achievable. The other is that there is an application pending for Specialty Print. I'm not sure whether all of the issues have been resolved, but I'm anticipating that will be granted, and once there is another logo and other things are worked through, that there will be the ability to conduct business in New York.
Questions further? Mr. Diamond.
Can we defer this until they do? They submit such an application seeking license, or should we act on that?
They wouldn't be compelled to then correct the situation.
Okay.
Right.
Fine.
I think that there's a need to act on this to bring finality to the appeal process while the other works through.
Okay. Good enough.
Okay. Any further discussion? In the matter of Tabco, all those in favor of the hearing officer's decision?
Aye.
Next item.
Item 11 in the matter of George Gilbert.
Firestand.
This matter arises from a refusal to issue a license to participate in parimutuel harness racing to George Gilbert, who applied for a license in general services. He is is a small businessman who drives horses and vans horses to and from the track. The refusal was based upon the finding at staff level that Mr. Gilbert's experience, character, and general fitness are such that his participation in racing is inconsistent with the public interest, convenience, and necessity, or with the best interest of racing generally. There was a hearing held before Mr. Parenti as the designated hearing officer. Mr. Parenti submitted a report, which you have before you, together with the record, in which the hearing officer recommends that the license refusal should be reversed based upon findings which include insufficient evidence that Mr. Gilbert's experience, character, and fitness are such that his participation in racing would be inconsistent with the public interest, convenience, and necessity, or with the best interests of racing generally.
Questions or comments from the board?
Yes, I'm going to be voting no. I'm going to stay with the staff recommendation, and I'm going to base it mostly on Mr. Gilbert's words. So that was the proof I needed, where he said, quote, "The last of my charges were at least 7 or 8 years ago. This is the best of my recollection. There may be other charges I do not recall." This doesn't meet the standard as far as I'm concerned. It's nice to disclose it, and we've got the long list of all the things he's been involved in, but this is a person who has been in the wrong place at the wrong time many times in his short life, many times. And while most of these things are not serious, and that they're, you know, they're probation violations, well, you know, misdemeanors, things like that, he's got quite a few of them. And the fact that he can't recall, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, and there may be others out there, it's, I'm with the staff on this one, so I would vote against the hearing officer's recommendation in this case.
Further questions or comments?
Chairman.
I understand Mr. Hogan's concern on this, but the most egregious of his violations, in my opinion, happened when he was a juvenile. And he has had a clean record, to the best of our investigation, for 10 years. And I tend to agree with the hearing officer. Perhaps he has cleaned up his act. It looks like he has. And
or maybe he's just got better at, you know, not getting caught.
Not getting caught.
Which, well, is unfortunately what I think is, you know, what I've seen out of this.
They did an extensive criminal background check after what you're talking about, Mr. Hogan, but also, are we precluded from adding a period of probation? Does that make it easier, more palatable?
If he gets in trouble, he's going to get in trouble. And if he gets in trouble, after we've granted this thing, which it sounds like the two of you are going to vote for, if he gets in trouble in any kind of way, shape, or form, I would hope we would immediately bounce him right out of the sport in terms of this. But as I say, you know, it's just he's the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, geez, my friend changed the price on that shrimp, and I just happened to be with him. I mean, if this thing, it was like reading a novel. You know, it's like Mark Twain, current time, and I don't think I would license Huckleberry Finn either. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm coming down on this, folks. So, but, you know, that's why we have democracy here.
Okay. All those in favor of the hearing officer's recommendation on the Gilbert matter, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. It's two in favor, one opposed. The item is approved.
There's six items for board information or discussion. Anything else? No? Then we'll adjourn the meeting at 11:36.
Thank you all for your participation. See, there's no cameras. We do it short.